If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, September 20th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adio A. Jr. Joining me is the Nitro Rifle himself, Andy Cortez.
Good morning, gamers.
Andy, how's that Liza P treating you? I want the update.
Holy cow. I mean, yeah. Last night was a harrowing experience. Mm. Last night was one of these main bosses that you could tell kind of caps off an experience of the whole gameplay, and things change from here on out. And not only do things change, but like I noticed the start menu changes when you like go to start up the game again.
God, I'm glad the games are bringing that back, because that was a thing I remember playing. I reference the game all the time, right? But Jet Force Gemini, you get to certain parts of the story, and all of a sudden, like, oh, you're in a different location in the start menu, or oh, you're wearing different clothes in the start menu now. That's one of my favorite things that video games do that not enough of them do.
There was a boss last night I encountered named the Puppet King, and he ruled over me for a good, like, a solid maybe 2 hours, 10 minutes. I thought it was closer to 3 hours, but then I kind of did the timing of when I started the stream and when I started the fight and everything like that.
I respect you not using the Spectre. Your little companion.
I decided to go a non-Spectre run, especially after the Brotherhood fight. If, for those of y'all who don't know, there's this fight early on called the Brotherhood fight, where you fight one the big brother of this like gang of like, you know, freaks, whatever they're doing. And then when the Brotherhood's health gets low, when the big brother's health gets low, little sister pops in to join the fight, and you got to like get her health down while the other dude's trying to fight you. Yeah. And it becomes like a big kind of,
it's like a 1v2, could turn into a 1v3 if you're not careful. Like, it's one of those boss fights they got to manage in a certain way, or else you'll get overwhelmed.
It's an absolute pain in the ass, Bless. And during the review period, I thought to myself, let me see what's up with these specters. Let me try out the specter, because I've tried this 10 times. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere close to where I need to be. Let me try a specter. And in my opinion, was a little too OP. Mm-hmm. Like, wiped out the boss fight in, it felt like seconds. It was over before I knew it started. And I was like, wow, these specters are a little too OP. Like, I feel like there wasn't a whole lot of, I didn't feel challenged in that moment. So then I've decided since then, no specters for the rest of the
game. Are you speccing into motivity? Into technique?
Yeah, I'm a strength boy.
Gotcha, for me, as I specced into the technique, I was like, I need the Spectre. Because if I don't start calling these Spectres, like, later into the game, I am just not going to finish this thing.
Now, my
technique apparently is hard mode.
My swings are slow as hell, and, you know, I have these bigger, stronger weapons that definitely take a lot more discipline, because you're not going to get two swings in. You could try to get two swings in, but you're going to get hit. So you're probably just going to want to do one swing and kind of, like, time things out. But last night was a harrowing experience. It was a pain in the ass. And I had a lot of fun with it. Finally taking down the puppet.
That's one of my favorite bosses.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
It was awesome.
Let me tell you about how my review season's going. Because now I feel like I can finally talk about the games that I have and like my plans for, I guess, the next few weeks. Because we're starting to get over the hump. We're starting to get to the place where it's like, all right.
At the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and then like another tunnel immediately after as we get into like the second half of October. But right now, right, like we just finished doing our Cyberpunk 2077 DLC review, which people can catch right now on the Gamescast, just went up this morning. I'm playing the hell out of that. I want to put in like maybe another 10 hours or so, because I put in about 15 hours. There's a multiple ending situation. I want to see what all the endings are, because my roommate Michael Heim was reviewing, and he was telling me, he was like, yo, you got to check out everything. Like, don't leave any stone unturned. Like, play the hell out of that thing. And so, as I've been playing, I've been trying to make sure I'm stopping and doing everything and, like, reloading and doing everything. So, that's been what I've been playing. On top of that, I've also been playing Mortal Kombat 1 at the same time.
Ooh-wee.
And, like, you know, it's been a thick review season where we've gone from Baldur's Gate 3 into Armored Core into Starfield into Liza P, right? And the nice thing about that is that those were back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Like, I wasn't trying to juggle Sea of Stars and Bomb Rush Cyberpunk in between those, right? I'll get to those later. But now I'm at a place where I am like, all right, cool. I'm playing both these games at the same time. Yesterday, I got the code for EAFC.
Oh.
24. So now I got to like figure out how I'm going to fit that. Of course, I don't think we'll do an EAFC review. I'll never say never because, of course, Janet's probably going to be playing it too. And so maybe we'll find time to talk about it on PS I Love You. But like now I got that to worry about. And I look a week later, I got Blessing Super Fun Game release calendar up. Cocoon comes out in 9 days. And we're going to get colds for that someday. And so like I got to worry about Cocoon. Minickle's Night Market. I don't know if you remember this game.
Do you have to worry about Cocoon?
I really want to. Like, Cocoon looks dope as fuck to me.
It does. I feel like Cocoon in that category kind of sits in the one extra, very similar category to Sea of Stars, where I say, like, that's the one extra thing that I don't think I'll be able to get to this year. Cocoon definitely interests me more gameplay-wise, because Sea of Stars is definitely, you know, more of turn-based. It's got some action elements in the turn-based combat, but Cocoon, at first, I was like, ooh, this is a top-down, isometric sort of game. It looks kind of like a 3D version of Hyper Light Drifter, and then I found out it's a lot more puzzle-based than it is combat-based. And I was
But that's the thing for me, where, like, in puzzle the streets, poppy. They call me Puzzle Poppy.
They do.
Cocoon is my kind of game. That's coming from people that worked on Inside and Limbo before, right? And, like, I played Somerville, and I really liked Somerville for what it was. I like Somerville more than most people. And so if I like Somerville, I'm probably going to fucking love Cocoon, because Cocoon, from the demos people have played in the previews and stuff, looks like it might actually live up to that legacy a bit more than Somerville did.
Is it the same devs?
No, it's not the same. It's not the same
devs. It's just like the people that
were on
the
same team. Both of those devs kind of like, split off.
They split off into their own teams. Bless, don't let Andy get into your ear about, like, Sea of Stars, like, that's not a priority. Play Sea of Stars this year.
Here's my thing, though, right? They call me Puzzle Poppy.
It's a 20-hour RPG, man.
They don't call me GRPG Poppy, though. Like, I like a GRPG, right? Like, I like
playing them. I've never heard anybody call
them. But nobody in the streets is calling me GRPG Poppy. They save that for Michael Hyam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They save that for Cameron Hawkins. I am not that guy. I play them when they come through and they seem fun and I'll enjoy them. But Puzzle Poppy, that is my name. So I got to play Cocoon. That's more on my list than Sea of Stars, sadly.
It's on his birth certificate.
It is on my birth certificate. But then I look to the future, right? October. Assassin's Creed Mirage, like, this is not necessarily my jam. Right? Detective Pikachu Returns.
Play it on an iPhone.
Oh, I could play it on the iPhone 15, but then I have to get an iPhone. Oh, nobody wants to do that. We get to Wild Card Football. And then October 11th. This is a game that I've been avoiding, right? Because I've had a past with Genshin Impact. And Genshin Impact, I played for like 40 hours, and then eventually that game broke me, and I was like, I am not enjoying this. Why am I playing this so much? Honkai Star Rail comes to PlayStation on October 11th, and I've been hearing such good things about Honkai Star Rail, and I think I want to play Honkai Star Rail. I think I'm gonna play a lot of this game.
Plus, I think this is another example of one of those extra games, because around then, when are we getting these Alan Wake 2 codes, you know?
I mean, what? Alan Wake 2, that's coming out October 27th. There's Ghost Runner 2 also, which I really want to play. That's 26.
Did you play the demo?
I didn't play the demo.
Oh, you got to play the Ghost Runner 2 demo.
I mean, I'm playing Cyberpunk 2077, which is basically the same thing.
Oh, no, it's not, Bless. Oh my God.
Have you seen the way I spec my character? I'm fucking slicing
the Ghost
and
Runner 2 demo, it's maybe 20 minutes, but it's so fucking good.
Hell yeah. I got on my fantasy draft, I'm pretty sure, and so that actually makes me happy.
Yeah.
But then, there's other games like Sonic and Spider-Man and stuff that are coming out a bit earlier, and so we'll see how those codes line up with Honkai, but man, I'm looking at that little break period I have, and I'm like, ooh, a Honkai could fit in there real well. And so we'll see. We'll see, Andy. Review season's only...
I hope a Honkai does fit in that little gap for you.
I hope it does. But for now, enough about Honkai. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Phil Spencer responds to the leaks, Cyberpunk DLC reviews are live, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindafunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad-ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindafunnygames will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. Like I said before, a new Kinda Funny Games cast is up right now, and it's our Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty review. It's your regular cast plus the one and only Paris Lilly. He joins us over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to talk all about Cyberpunk. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then over on Patreon, we have a new episode of Kinda Feudy, and it's a fun trivia trial. And instead of the regular Kinda Feudy game, I test out a new game on the guys titled You're Wrong, that's inspired by KFGD. You can go check out that episode if you want to know more. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin on what is, and forever will be, The Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 9 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Another jam-packed news day for you. Story number 1, Microsoft addresses the huge Xbox leaks. Here's Phil Spencer's full memo. This is Tom Warren and Jay Peters at The Verge. Xbox chief Phil Spencer has just emailed Microsoft employees about the massive Xbox leak that happened yesterday. In the internal memo obtained by The Verge, Spencer says Microsoft's Xbox plans, quote, were unintentionally disclosed as part of the FTC v. Microsoft case. Documents revealed a lot. A diskless Series X redesign, a 2028 Xbox that could deliver cloud hybrid games, a new Xbox controller, unannounced Bethesda games, and even discussions about acquiring Nintendo. Spencer hints that Microsoft's plans may have changed, particularly as some documents were from last year, but others were from years prior. In a similar briefer statement shared on X, formerly known as Twitter, Spencer says, quote, we've seen the conversation around old emails and documents. It's hard to see our team's work shared in this way because so much has changed and there's so much to be excited about right now and in the future. We will share the real plans when we are ready, end quote. Here's Spencer's memo in full. This is what he emailed his team. Team. Today, several documents submitted in the court proceedings related to our proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard were unintentionally disclosed. I know this is disappointing, even if many of the documents are well over a year old and our plans have evolved. I also know we all take the confidentiality of our plans and our partners' information very seriously. This leak obviously is not us living up to that expectation. We'll learn from what happened and be better going forward. We all put incredible amounts of passion and energy into our work, and this is never how we want that hard work to be shared with the community. That said, there's so much more to be excited about, and when we're ready, we'll share the real plans with our players. In closing, I appreciate all of the work that you pour into Team Xbox to surprise and delight our players. In the days and weeks ahead, let's stay focused on what we can control, continuing the amazing success of Starfield, the upcoming launch of the incredible and accessible Forza Motorsport, and continuing to build games, services, and devices that millions of players can enjoy. Phil. Andy, we didn't get to have you on the episode yesterday. As you've been seeing this stuff come out, has there been anything that has stuck out to you, anything that you want to talk about here?
Well, first off, I just wanted to mention like how obvious it is that this message isn't just for the team. This is very much a press statement. You know, you release it to your team in hopes that the, you know, it'll
somebody's
also go out
to the
press
to the Verge.
And people get
at
that.
At this point, I don't think any Microsoft emails for the team.
Yeah.
Like they know. If I'm going to send anything confidential, I'm just going to tell you face to face. And even that, it's probably going to get leaked at some point.
I was hoping to get a couple of sentences in there like, look, I was a different person back then.
Listen, it's not the same. Like,
things have changed, you know.
I apologize that you feel that way.
We're all different people. I would say when these leaks first started coming out, I was honestly, it may just show how cynical I am of the industry, but I was expecting a lot worse things to happen. Mm-hmm. I was expecting really terrible, like, cover-ups and all sorts of things. And once I started seeing that it was just a lot of video game news, I was still fairly interested, but I thought it was going to be a bit more on the negative side. Yeah, I thought we were going to have a bit more of that, which wouldn't make sense because these are, you know, things disclosed for, or these are things submitted to the FTC. So I understand why things like that. This isn't like the first sports references out there. This isn't the John Gruden email for the head coach, former head coach of the Raiders.
This isn't a cloud leak.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, it's just been sort of interesting to see where their minds are at now. Again, I do kind of agree that that was a different Xbox 3 years ago. That was a 2020 Xbox where I feel like maybe things were a bit more skewing towards the confidence side. Mm-hmm. when we're talking about, hey, there's this game Redfall that's going to come out in a couple of years. You know, like, yeah, there were,
I mean, some of these emails are from an Xbox pre even acquiring Bethesda.
Yeah. Right?
Let alone Activision, let alone a COVID-19 pandemic happening, shifting all their deadlines.
Yeah. So it does seem to, I do think that is a very different Xbox in that era. Again, that Nintendo email was, Nintendo statements were about from 2020, I believe.
I forget when that, where I can double check.
They definitely were a bit longer ago. Let's just say it was before Animal Crossing.
Sure, yeah. Which, actually, I think it might have been right after. It was like July. It was July 2020.
Which honestly feels like a very different Nintendo as well around that era. It's just been sort of interesting to kind of be a fly on the wall for some of these more important business talks. These are sort of looks that we never really get to see unless you have some big documentary that kind of talks about everything, and even then a lot of those documentaries usually don't go as deeply as you'd like them to. So it's just been kind of interesting to see how the inner business workings happen at Microsoft.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, right? Like, this for me goes in line with a lot of the stuff we've talked about in terms of the back and forth between Xbox, PlayStation, the FTC, the courts, like all this stuff, and how more and more info has been coming out, and it feels like a peek into these things that we shouldn't be seeing. Mm-hmm. But now, like, they have to show it to us. And in this case, right, they accidentally showed us way too much. And now we're getting a peek behind the scenes of, okay, so this is how this works. Oh, okay, so this works the exact way that we thought this works. Oh, this works nothing like how I thought this works, right? Especially, like, I thought one of the fascinating ones was looking at the evaluations of how much they thought it would cost to get all these different games on Game Pass, and how, yeah, they have a team that's responsible for looking at games and going, all right,
how do we forecast this?
How do we forecast? I guess Baldur's Gate 3 could be worth $5 million. Like, you don't know, right? It's the same as us when we talk about games coming up, and we either preview games, right, which gives us a bit more of a lens, or, you know, we just speculate. All right, cool. Ghost of Tsushima from Sucker Punch was great. I'm sure Ghost of Tsushima 2 probably going to be a great game. We don't know that for sure. That game could come out and it could be bad, but, like, you know, you have to speculate and you have to guess and you have to figure out how to forecast these things ahead. I think seeing them do some similar things is very fascinating. And then, yeah, looking at their plans of, this is what we think the next gen Xbox is going to be. We're going to focus in on cloud. We're going to focus in on machine learning. Some of the things that, again, we've talked about before with DLSS, and, you know, Xbox has talked about cloud for a decade now, even going back to the Xbox One launch, when we talk about Crackdown 3 and all these things, you know, like, they've had cloud in their mind for a while. The new Kojima game that they announced with Xbox, right? Like, that's a game that seems to be going to take advantage of the cloud. Cool. It seems like that's the thing that they're going to go hard with, at least at this moment. Again, all these plans change, but it's fascinating to see where their heads are at right now / has been at for the last 3 years with that stuff.
Yeah, I especially liked seeing those tweets from, I forget who it was working for Larian, where, you know, there are a lot of people saying, like, wow, they completely did not take Baldur's Gate 3 seriously. And some of the people from Larian are like, hey, we get it.
Yeah, I think, like, it was Cromwell on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, that's that. A lot of people didn't really see the vision either. And that's totally kind of understandable. And that's a really tough thing to do in this industry, is to know when a game is going to hit. You have so many games out there that end up being great and don't, for whatever reason, because of timing or because of where they fall in release windows, some games just don't hit like they should, you know? So yeah. I enjoy sort of getting the behind the scenes in those moments.
Yeah. Story number two is going to be a leftover from some of the leaked documents that we had from yesterday, right? I'm sure this stuff is going to keep coming as we go. Mm-hmm. But story number two, 75% of Xbox Series owners are Series S owners. This is from the leaked court documents. This is Taylor Lyles at IGN. Since its release in 2020, the Xbox Series S has been the subject of debate over its value within the current hardware generation lineup due to being less powerful than the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5. It turns out Microsoft's $300 Series S is more popular than the Series X. The revelation was spotted in the big Xbox court document leak that has taken the internet by storm this week. One of these documents focuses on Xbox's April 2022 gaming results. While the document is heavily redacted, one slide shows the, quote, console sell-in mix. The document reveals that 74.8% of Xbox Series owners own the Series S, with the Xbox Series X on 25.1%. As mentioned, these numbers are from early 2022, so may have changed since then. While this split seems surprising at first glance, given the lower power of the Xbox Series S, it's designed to normally render games at 1440p resolution and 60 frames per second with a lack of 4K gaming and no disk drive, it should not be entirely surprising from a consumer perspective. The Xbox Series S is the most affordable console out of the three home systems available in the ninth generation of gaming, costing $299 or $349.99 if you buy the 1TB model. The S is a console capable of playing next-gen games like Starfield, even if not the highest graphical fidelity settings. It's an appealing pitch to most people who care more about the games and less about peak performance.
That's a big number, Bless.
That's a huge number, 75% just about.
That is way more than I would have ever predicted. I would have assumed maybe at around the 50% mark would have been a safe call.
I would have been like, oh yeah, maybe like Xbox Series S 55% to Xbox Series X 45 or flip those, right? I would have thought that it would have been more parity between the two.
And it makes a lot more sense why whenever we see these reports about these developers maybe struggling with developing for the Series S and maybe that, you know, there's some things they have to hold back for the Series X or for the Series S, and maybe development has slowed down in these areas because they can't get these features working. And we all go, dude, fuck the Series S, man. Get rid of it, dude. No one's using it. Like,
yeah.
This is why they care so much, because that is a massive install base of hardware.
Yeah, and it makes you think about the future. You know, yesterday, one of the things we talked about is that it seems like they're playing for the half-step next-gen, or not next-gen, current-gen hardware, right? The idea of a Xbox Series X Pro or Series S Pro. Even the X version doesn't have a disk drive, right? Like, it is all digital the way that the current Series S has. And the conversation we had yesterday is, and the conversation that we've had a lot lately is, what are the amount of people that are going to be affected by not being able to have a disk drive, right? Like, are we at the place finally where these console manufacturers can get rid of the disk drive and not really worry about it? And based on 75% of the Xbox Series owners being Series S owners compared to Series X, I would think that they look at that and go, yeah, it's time. Like, I think we can get away with a Series X or, like, going forward without having a disk drive in our consoles, which sounds wild, which I know probably leaves out a certain handful of people, but I think there's a couple things there. One, so many other things in life now are digital, right? When we talk about movies, when we talk about music, when we talk about so many things, the transition has been made. But then also, that doesn't leave out the option to have a USB plug disk drive if people really need that physical option there. But even in video games, you know, we have day one patches that have made things practically all digital, right? Like, most of these games that you're playing, you're not able to play without at least downloading a patch so that these games can run the way that they're supposed to. So this feels like the proof in the pudding of, hey, we're taking a step into the future. The discs are a thing of the past, which is wild to think about.
Yeah, that's definitely like a harbinger for what the future of these studios look like and for what these developers look like. I would not have expected, it seems like having a disc drive in the hardware would be something that would be a lot more necessary still. Mm-hmm. Like, it's one of those things where we talk about how many people are actually still on DSL internet or don't have broadband internet, and it's still way more than you would have ever expected. I thought this would have been in that same sort of realm. So I think that is kind of, I think that inspires a lot of confidence in terms of going for the all digital future, but also not great when we talk about things like game preservation and things about, like, you know, people,
that's the scary thing.
People losing access to and ownership of those digital titles that they own, and that all that stuff can kind of be taken away a little bit more easily now.
1,000%. Story number three, more on Xbox. Starfield has hit 10 million players. This was tweeted by at Bethesda Studios yesterday. Thank you to more than 10 million Starfield explorers for creating the biggest launch in Bethesda history. They then have the image up there, thanks to an astronomical 10 million Starfield players. Good on you.
OM Jesus in the Twitch chat says, I'm one of those 10 million. Me too.
Yeah, I guess I am also one of those 10 million.
Pretty cool.
10 million, I think, is a fascinating number because we're talking about 10 million players, right? And we're not necessarily talking about 10 million sales. We're talking about the power of, you know, Starfield / Bethesda being first party, and also the power of Game Pass and all these things, and PC and all this. I think what's fascinating, me and Tim were having a back and forth on an earlier episode about Forza Horizon and some of the other games that Xbox has touted with that 10 million number, right? And trying to compare where we think Starfield will land. And it seems like, all in all, Starfield has landed in a similar place as those other games, right? I got a tweet from 2021 about Forza Horizon where they thank people for making Forza Horizon 5 the biggest launch in Xbox history. And it hit over 10 million players in just the first week, right? Which is wild to think about. Here's where I'm going to come at this from, right? I think these are impressive numbers for any game. I think those are good numbers for Starfield. I would have thought that it would have been way higher. I would have thought that a first-party Bethesda Xbox game that's both on PC and console that is on Game Pass, right? Not free, but you're getting it at a subscription service, a very discounted price. I would have thought that we would have seen that hit 15, 20 million. And maybe that's me overestimating. I know it's a new IP as well, but it's a Bethesda IP still.
I don't disagree with that. I think when we talk about, and it could just be one of those things where maybe a racing game is a bit more universal of, you know, like we talk about, oh, of course this game's going to win Game of the Year. Nobody talks about EAFC or whatever. Like, we kind of just discount sports games as being this genre that nobody plays when really they are still like the most popular games out there.
Yeah.
It could be one of those situations where the large gaming public knows about Skyrim and knows about Bethesda RPGs, but the mass amount of humans out there that exist that aren't necessarily up to date on what the hell a Bethesda even is, but they go, oh, a racing game, I'm into whatever the hell race, you know, I'm into a general sport like that. It's a racing game. It's a bit more universal.
Yeah.
That's the other side of the argument for me, where I totally see what you're saying, where this is a massive Bethesda RPG that everybody should know about.
Everybody and their mother has played Skyrim.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so many people have played Fallout. There's an expectation and a familiarity with what a Bethesda RPG is. And I would have assumed that, yeah, coming out the gate, we would have seen Starfield coming out on Game Pass knocked out of the water. Again, like in the way that we see it in Forza Horizon 5, right? Again, that's a proven game. That's a wonderful game, right? Like, absolutely love Forza Horizon 5. And also, it's very popular. But to people that are saying that, like, oh, but it's just the first week. It's just like Forza Horizon 5, those numbers are just the first week. And transferring that over to, and this might be Apple's Origins, this might be an unfair comparison, but I'm going to make it anyway. You look at Nintendo, and Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and Pokemon Scarlet and Violet both hit 10 million in 3 days. Like, I think this is very impressive. I think this is incredible, and I think this is also Xbox, I think, growing and trying to get to that place where they can compare themselves to Nintendo in terms of first party. But yeah, like, I look at 10 million, and I would have thought that we would have hit, like, a 15, just based on the Xbox Game Pass of it all.
I also think it's not necessarily, like, the best thing to judge it on, but my 12-year-old nephew has no idea what the hell Starfield or Bethesda is.
It's fair.
But when I was downloading that game and he saw what I was downloading and was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, it's the next big RPG. Have you heard of, like, Skyrim? He's like, no, I don't know what that is. He plays Fortnite and he plays Roblox and he plays Apex. You know, like, there's a mass amount of people out there that have no idea what these games are, and they just have this console that came with that free Game Pass, and they just download
a bunch of games.
EAFC, Madden, yeah. You know, like, that's kind of like the area that they're in, or the free-to-play games when we talk about Fortnite and Apex and things like that.
But yeah, I'm curious to see what this number looks like a year from now, right? I think the cool thing about Starfield, and, like, I think the special thing to see about it is, how are the updates going to fare over time? Do we see added content? I'm sure we'll see DLC, right? Like, once DLC hits, and I'm sure once we see those consistent Xbox Game Pass numbers of more people adopting Xbox Game Pass and looking back over a year, how many players have now touched Starfield by this time in 2024? I'm sure that number is going to be crazy, right?
Yeah.
And so, cool to see. Story number four, we got a Cyberpunk 2077 Phantom Liberty review roundup for you. Right now on Metacritic, it is sitting at an 88. On OpenCritic, it is sitting at a 90. Matt Kim at IGN gave it a 9 out of 10 and says, last year, I said in my review of Cyberpunk Edgerunners that CDPR now has a blueprint for where to go with Cyberpunk 2077. And Phantom Liberty shows the studio already had exactly that in mind. Between a more sophisticated level of storytelling with excellent performances, smarter insights on the cyberpunk genre and its dystopian themes, and landing on top of a much improved gameplay experience thanks to its fresh 2.0 update, Phantom Liberty marks a new chapter for Cyberpunk 2077 and is finally close to what I'd hope it would be when I first sat down to play it 3 years ago. Ted Litchfield at PC Gamer gave it an 87 out of 100 and says, I'm extremely pleased with Phantom Liberty. CD Projekt can hang with the big dogs when it comes to cinematic storytelling, with the quality of writing and world building that I prefer to the likes of Sony's vaunted first-party lineup. I've been eager to see what CD Projekt would do with the Cyberpunk 2077 expansion ever since first beating the game at the end of 2020. And Phantom Liberty is a splendid send-off for the world CD Projekt's been working on for the better part of the last 10 years. And then Michael Hyam at GameSpot gave it a 10 out of 10 and says, woo, Phantom Liberty embodies the best of Cyberpunk 2077 for a thrilling RPG shooter with an evocative story, compelling side content, and unforgettable conclusions. Of course, we have our review up over on the GamesCast podcast feed and on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames is a GamesCast. Greg Miller was our lead reviewer. He gave it a 3 out of 5, but also it was a very varied slate of opinions on that podcast, right? Because Greg gave it a 3, Paris gave it a 4. I didn't give it a final rating, but I was between a 4 and a 5, right? I was on the final mission. I put in about 15 hours, and it seemed like you had enjoyed it a lot as well. Very fascinating to see where the review scores have landed here.
Yeah, it's also neat to see, like, this is a culmination of a lot of, like, what we mentioned on the podcast of lessons learned for CD Projekt Red and understanding what things worked and understanding that there was a whole lot of things that didn't work, right, with the prior and earlier iterations of Cyberpunk. So it's just awesome to kind of see them apply a lot of those learnings over the years, right? I'm having a blast with it. I am maybe about halfway through with it, but I'd say I'm closer to around a 5. I'm certainly enjoying my time with it. I still feel very similarly to Greg on his thoughts of Night City as a whole, where I don't feel like in a lot of other open world games, let me just walk this way and see what I can experience or discover. I still to this day don't feel that with Night City. I feel like it is a gorgeous backdrop, and the art is obviously incredible. And when you have your PC running at full max with all the ray tracing possible, it's an experience. But I don't feel like I'm going to experience anything gameplay-wise that's going to make me go, holy shit, have you ran by that building? Because there's a dude standing there.
Yeah.
And that random guy will ask you to take, you know, like, I haven't experienced anything like that in Cyberpunk yet, and I was hoping to get a bit more of that. But I do think this game does a great job of saying, hey, if you're not super into the open world sort of style of gameplay, similar to how Tim feels usually about these open world games, here is an expansion that I think is fairly straightforward. I think it's easier to sort of get your bearings when you pop into this world and understand what the world is asking of you and what these NPCs are doing and what their roles are in this story. I think it's an awesome spy thriller, and Idris Elba, among all the other actors, is like a standout performance, obviously. Yeah. Oh, he's incredible, and I'm always worried about how does the Hollywood actor translate to the voice acting booth with the mocap suit. Like, is that going to be a perfect sort of one-to-one translation? And he's awesome. It's I highly recommend you hopping into this expansion.
Yeah, I think the thing for me that really helped it click, this is probably around halfway through my Phantom Liberty playthrough, was kind of like looking at the world and the way that I look at a GTA, right? Like a GTA 5 in particular, of, yeah, I'm just gonna drive around and do these missions and just have fun in the world, right? As opposed to look for, I guess, what I got out of a Witcher or out of a Skyrim or out of like a Starfield or something, right? Where like, those are the kind of games where it is, all right, what's around the corner? Who can I run into that's going to give me this emergent moment of, oh snap, you have a quest for me. Oh snap, you have like this random thing that now I'm interested in and you're pulling my attention into this moment. I don't think Cyberpunk delivers on that, but I do think it delivers on creating a really fun playground for you to play in, right? And creating a world that feels like a living, breathing cyberpunk city that is fantastic to look at, that is really fun to drive around, right? And it's really fun to do these activities. And I think, you know, where Greg was coming from in his review in terms of comparing it to a Far Cry, right? It feels like I'm playing Far Cry. It feels like I'm, you know, going through and just doing these activities. I actually really enjoyed those aspects. I think once I started to take it for what that stuff was and for, I guess, the kind of open world game it wants to be, taking that and then looking at the, what I call the RPG-isms of it, right? Specking out your character, figuring out how you want to engage with combat, figuring out, do you want to be a net runner? Do you want to be hacking things? Do you want to be a ninja? Do you want to, you know, be dashing all over the place? Figuring out what my lane was and then min-maxing into that and getting into combat scenarios, that's where I was like, yo, this is fucking fun. Like, I cannot get enough of this. Mm-hmm. And that's what really elevates it for me. And so, yeah, like, I the one thing I will say for people who are jumping into Phantom Liberty, you might want to start from the beginning of the game. Because, like, you know, I started from right before the last mission, and I, like, you know, respect my character, put all the points into the things that I wanted to, and I started playing from there. I think, and this is me talking to my roommate as well, of course, Michael Hyam, who gave it a 10 at GameSpot. He did start from the beginning, right? And he did kind of go and, like, respect his character, or respect his character from the beginning and did all that stuff. And hearing him talk about how he got to experience it and really get the full breadth of what Cyberpunk 2.0 is, you know, talking to him had me even more excited, because he made it sound like the Cyberpunk game that was promised at launch, right? And as I play through Phantom Liberty, I feel like I'm playing so many aspects of that Cyberpunk game that was promised at launch, right? Like I am dismembering people. I am like engaged in these cutscenes where, you know, I'm like making these dialogue choices, right? But like these characters are having these natural moments of like making me a drink and handing it to me and doing all these things. These are things that I really appreciate. These are things that really brought me into my Cyberpunk playthrough. And so, yeah, like consider playing it. If you don't have the time, then yeah, you can totally just play Phantom Liberty just like I did and still have a great time. But it seems like it's at a place where it might be worthwhile to start from the beginning and re-experience the Cyberpunk story if you haven't.
And I think it's also one of those things that will blow you away production value-wise. Like we obviously know that CD Projekt Red cares about visuals and cares about setting the tone in an environment and having this NPC look at you and have these super intricate animations. And
yeah.
Obviously, you know, bugs withstanding, that's a whole other issue, right? But it is certainly a nice sort of comparison to have from Starfield, which allows you to do a massive amount of activities, right? Like Starfield is, I think, the reason why these animations and these characters don't always look preem, is what I'll call them. That's a little cyberpunk term for you, is because they are putting a lot of time and budget into the shipbuilding and the base building and all the other aspects of this universe that Cyberpunk doesn't offer you. But then you get into that one-on-one setting where you're talking to an important NPC about a side quest, and you feel like this person is looking at you and talking to you. It doesn't feel like a computer NPC character. It feels like a person because of all the mannerisms and the small ticks in what makes human feel human.
It's the difference where, you know, when I talked about Starfield, I've always compared those characters to like animatronics. You know, I feel like I'm almost in like a theme park, and like these characters are kind of robotic in the way that they talk to me, where in Cyberpunk it feels like I'm in a movie, right? Yeah. Like I feel like I'm in a scene, right? And I showed you a clip right before this episode of a moment that I talked about in the Gamescast, where, you know, I'm having this dialogue moment with these characters, and one of the characters is like, "All right, boys, get him." And as soon as that happens, I bust out my katana and deflect all these bullets and they start shooting at me.
He just straight up Genji deflected him. It was awesome.
Yeah. And like that happened, I was like, what the fuck? That was cool as fuck, right? And like it feels dynamic. It brings it back in 2020 when I was reviewing Cyberpunk. It was a similar thing that I felt where, you know, I'm talking to an NPC in one of the main missions. I forget the full context, but I'm in his office and I'm talking to him, and as I'm talking, he's like walking around his office, like, you know, trying to kind of like, you know, be the bigger guy, whatever. And, you know, we're kind of like the conversation sort of heating up. And as we're talking, I see him like go to a drawer, and I don't really realize what he's doing. But like as he's doing it, he like opens the drawer and he busts out a gun and starts shooting at me. And I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Like, I was not expecting that. Like, I really enjoy those moments where it feels like anything could happen, anything could pop off, because they've created these like character moments and like, you know, these cinematic moments that feel like they could be dynamic in that way. And so, God, I love this game.
Yeah, I can't wait to get back to it.
We're about to go to story number 5, but before we do, I want to tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep because I just can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace, and it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. You can find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help.
For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back with story number 5. Spider-Man 2 has gone gold. This is tweeted out by Insomniac this morning. We are gold. We're thrilled to share the news ahead of Spider-Man 2's launch on October 20th, 2023, with a few words from the game's cast. They tweeted a video. Barrett, if you're able to pull up the video.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Right here, we got Najee
Jeter. The news is official.
AKA Miles
Morales.
It
has happened. The time is now. Not bronze. Not silver. But gold. Spider-Man 2 is gone gold, baby. That's right. That's right. You heard it. I'm going to tell the whole world. Hold on. Hold on. Everyone, Spider-Man 2 is gone gold.
I got goosebumps. I'm excited.
Go. You didn't even hit him with fiber. They're like.
We hit him with a cameo.
Yeah, they're like, hey, we got $5. Can you do this for them?
That means it's that much closer.
Hey, it's Yuri Lowenthal.
Into your faces and brains and bodies.
I just want to say that I love you, and I'm so stoked
Laura
for this
really
game.
Laura is where Najee
Jeter was. And I hope
Jeter
you guys enjoy it as much as we enjoyed making it.
Congratulations to everybody at Insomniac who put this together. And I guess now all we have left is for you to get the game and play it.
You're going to edit some webs.
Good head of hair on Yuri Lowenthal.
We are Venom.
Oh, we got Tony Todd, the man that told us September.
We are gold.
Could have been Tom Hardy, dude.
God. And then, yeah, they have a message here that says, Marvel Spider-Man 2 has officially gone gold. We're thrilled to share the milestone achievement with our studio and collaborators at PlayStation and Marvel Games and with our incredible community around the world. We can't wait for you to experience what we've been cooking up on October 20th.
Let her cook!
Nice little celebration right here.
For a second, as I was getting to the day, I'd be like, it'd be crazy if they were like, December 8th, 2024.
Whoa, wait, they stuck in that date in there. That's exciting. This is very, very, it's awesome to kind of have Games Daily have a nice little celebration news thing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of it can either be stuff about controversies or about what studios are doing. And I think this is a nice brush of breath air right here.
Oh, no, yeah. A nice brush of breath air.
Breath air. Yeah.
Yeah, let's go. What's your hype levels currently for Spider-Man 2? You had to listen to Tim talk about it on that PS. I love you.
I mean, once Tim started mentioning all the customization options,
yeah,
that's what really got me the extra excited, right? I think I won't know how stoked I am until that code comes in and you go, oh shit, tonight I'm about to play Spider-Man. Like, it's always one of those things that you never quite know how you're going to feel about the game. And it's maybe you get excited about a couple trailers and you go, oh, that's a great showing. I thought the most recent time that they showed off Spider-Man at that state of play was the best way that they've showed it so far.
Mm-hmm.
It's what had me the most interested in it. And I'm very stoked to get in there and see how many suits we can start downloading and getting in there.
Yeah. For me, it was the wings flying through and like having that extra form of mobility. I've been seeing more videos of I think it was Insomniac's gameplay, right? But them showing that stuff off. And I'm like, yo, that's so fucking smart. Like, that seems so fun. And I love that they're like, yo, you know, throw all expectations out the window of the way that you're going to play a Spider-Man game. Let's give him wings. Like, let's let him fly around the city practically. And like, let's put fun first before we even put logic in there.
Yeah.
All the video game isms of it, right? Like them having Tim even talking about like big orbs that you're flying through and all this shit. I'm all about it. Like, I want a video game ass video game. And I think that's the thing that has me most excited.
I'm also just very excited to see the visual upgrades. And
yeah,
it's always one thing to see how pretty these trailers look on a compressed YouTube video, but how's that going to look on my big TV? And I'm excited for how much better
it's going to look when it comes to PC eventually. You got that?
Don't get me started.
You start playing with that DLSS.
Don't get me started. Oh, big God.
Story number 6: Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth launches in January. This is George Yang at IGN. Sega and Ryu Ga Gotoku have revealed that Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth will launch on January 6, 2024. The story follows both current series protagonist Ichiban Kasuga and former protagonist Kazuma Kiryu. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth will be released on PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Ichiban goes on a journey to Hawaii to find his mother, who he was separated from when he was younger. Additionally, Kiryu makes the shattering announcement that he has been diagnosed with cancer.
He's got a segue just like Cloud does. That's crazy.
These segues are in right now, man.
Like, that's cool.
With the limited time he has left, Kiryu wants to make amends for his past being part of the Yakuza. As his strength weakens, Kiryu realizes he has to work together with Ichiban, as apparently every other local gang in Hawaii is after his mother as well. The game's newest trailer is absolutely bonkers, as it shows Kiryu and Ichiban facing off against a myriad of different threats, including a giant shark and a giant squid.
Yo, I've never beaten a Yakuza game before, but the fact that this one's in Hawaii makes me want to get it just to have, like, Alyssa play around in it, you know?
Oh, yeah. It just looks fun as hell.
They always look fun as hell.
God.
They make a lot of these, huh?
Dude, this is the third one in a 12-month period. Because in February, we got Like a Dragon Ishin. In November, we're getting The Man Who Erased His Name. I probably butchered that, but I'm pretty sure it's close to that.
Yeah, I think you crushed it.
And then in January, we're getting this. Three Yakuza games in a 12-month period. That is insane.
I'm happy for Ray Narvaez and a little bit for Gary Whitta.
I'm happy and also scared for JRPG fans because, this is end of January. Me and Bear were talking about it right before the show that this is, a week before Persona 3 Reload?
Yes!
And then Final Fantasy VII Remake, or
comes
Rebirth,
out the end of February
is the end
as
of
well.
February. Like, JRPGs, they aren't known to be short games. You know what I mean? Like, this is going to be a 40-hour game. Persona 3 Reload is probably going to be 100 hours.
I don't know if this is going to be four. Like, how long was... Did you play 7 at all?
I started it. I played, maybe 8 hours.
Okay. Because I was hearing from people that that game was, near 100 hours.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that.
So it's fucking wild that, you've got this, and then you've got Final Fantasy VII, and then there's a chance that, maybe Persona 3 Reload is, on the shorter side of all three of these games, which still
Seven Rebirth can't be. I would think Seven Rebirth would be the shortest one, right? Because I've only played Persona 4 Golden and Persona 5 Royal.
I'm going to predict that Seven Rebirth, you can main path it in 28 hours.
I'll think that too. Because Remake, was 35 hours?
Around there, yeah.
Yeah, around there. And Personas are usually 70 to 150, depending on which one you're
Reload
playing.
Will be on the shorter side of that. Reload will be more in, the 70 to 80 side. But
yeah. Persona or Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is going to be a chunky boy. At least of just, thinking in context of, the original game.
That's going to be my time to just catch up on games I didn't play this year. This JRPG period. Well, except Final Fantasy. I'll definitely be playing that.
Also, as a reminder, Rebirth is 2 discs.
It's 2 discs, everybody.
On a PS5, too.
On a PS5.
What you have to do is you have to stick both discs in at the same time.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Double penetration.
Double penetration. That's insane. As you're saying that, I was looking. I was trying to find the calendar for 2024. I can't get the image of 2 discs out of my mind being shoved into a small PS5 disc slot. Yeah, we got there's another code recollection. That's going to be for the Tekken 8 comes out end of January. Fuck, Tekken 8 comes out the same day as Like a Dragon.
RE Fantasio comes out later next year as well.
That's not a
next
real year? Game though.
Oh yeah, Metaphor RE Fantasio.
Yeah.
God, I can't wait for it. Rugby 24 comes out the 24th of January.
Damn. All those rugby heads.
Are you putting those in your super release calendar?
There's a Prince of Persia. Well, the super release calendar only goes until the end of the year, so.
Oh.
I'll get you an updated one at the beginning of next year. Maybe at the end of this year. We'll see. But yeah, Prince of Persia The Lost Crown is also January 18th. So the start of next year is looking insane. Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League is a game.
It is a game.
February 2nd.
That will exist.
And Helldivers 2 is February 8th. And so no more games for January, February. That's what I'm going to say here. All right?
Helldivers 2 is going to be a good time.
Helldivers 2 is going to be great. But also that same month, Destiny 2 The Final Shape.
Oh, no way. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Like, insane.
Oh, dang. Okay, never mind.
And if you're a Tomb Raider fan, don't get me started about Tomb Raider 1 through 3 remastered.
This is perfect timing for Destiny to be coming out. Because, this reminds me of me getting into my Destiny 2 bag earlier this year, where there was a decent gap of nothing happening.
Yeah.
And was finally like, you know what? Let me get into this Destiny 2. And I got into it, man. It was like...
I think Destiny, they usually always hit that end of February range, which is probably very smart for them because, you know, I think there's usually time, like, between games. Except, I guess lately, what? It was 2021 where we got Elden Ring and Horizon and all this shit? Or no, that was 2022. Yeah, 2022 where we got Elden Ring, Horizon, and, like, a bunch of games in February. February.
Gaming.
Then you October.
Gaming, it never stops. Put that on a t-shirt.
It never stops. Story number 7, Need for Speed developer Criterion to focus on Battlefield. This is Tom Phillips at Eurogamer. Criterion, the British studio behind recent Need for Speed titles and the classic Burnout series, will now focus the majority of its efforts on EA's Battlefield shooter franchise. A smaller core group within Criterion will continue on with Need for Speed. Meanwhile, Criterion has, of course, worked on Battlefield before and contributed bits to DICE's Battlefield 5 and Battlefield 2042. It also helped out with Star Wars Battlefront 2. The talented team will now turn its efforts back to improving 2042 and to the future of the Battlefield franchise overall. The studio's most recent game, Need for Speed Unbound, dropped in December last year. Eurogamer liked it, but it sadly did not reach a large audience. Today's announcement of a new focus for the majority of Criterion means the studio will shift to being part of EA Entertainment rather than EA Sports. Eurogamer understands there will be no layoffs attached to this change. Here's my thing, Andy.
I'm here.
All right? Need for Speed developer Criterion is to focus on Battlefield. Let me give you something to focus on, all right? Focus on Burnout. All right? I'm tired of y'all making Need for Speeds.
Developer Burnout?
Oh, no, the racing game.
Oh, okay.
PS2 that I really liked. Mm-hmm. It was a PS3 one. It was called Burnout Paradise. Mm-hmm. It was open world.
Wow. Blessing really doesn't good. Care about developer burnout, Andy. It's fucked up.
Listen, all right. What you need to do.
Jason Schreier.
As long as you can give me a burnout.
Get this, man.
The way you make it happen, listen. That's on y'all. As long as I can get another burnout. Focus on burnout. Yeah. All right. You got Apex. Why do you keep putting out these battlefields? They're not going to be Call of Duty. All right. I know nobody's going to tell you this. I'll tell you. Please just make a burnout. You. Make a burnout.
Make a burnout.
Make a burnout. What, Need for Speed, the last one, that was actually pretty decent. I really liked the last Need for Speed Unbound. Pretty good game. Didn't have the lasting power.
Didn't rock the world by any means.
You know what would rock the world?
A burnout.
Burnout. With a crash mode and a, what was the other mode that I really liked? Was it called Takedown? No, Takedown was the name of the game.
Jack and Daxter mode?
No, the mode where you're just like, you're not even racing anymore. You're just taking out other cars. Give me that mode as well.
Mm. Battle Royale?
That's not it. Road Rage.
Give him a burnout.
Give me a burnout. I'm tired of this. All right.
I also just don't. I
throwing Criterion's name everywhere except for a burnout.
I also, like, you know, I've never been the biggest fan of Battlefield as a franchise and the gameplay. Mm. But I struggle to see more money and time being put into Battlefield when it. I mean, I guess there's got to be some return if they keep on investing in it. But it just seems like one of those franchises that is always going to be the in third place of all of these larger sort of big, you know, military shooter games.
I think the thing with Battlefield is that in its heyday, it was seen as a Call of Duty competitor. And I think EA really wants to chase that. I think they want to put out something that, even if it's too far gone now, right? Like, I don't think anybody...
I mean, they've been chasing bad company for how long now?
Yeah, right? Like, I think the days of Battlefield being a Call of Duty competitor are over, but I think EA really wants to make that happen. I just don't know if it's worth it to keep doing this and for them to keep falling flat. Because I was talking to Mike earlier, and Mike was saying, yeah, like the Battlefield 2042 launch was disappointing, but over time they worked on it, right? But like by that time, it was already too late to like get people in on it in a way that really had people excited about Battlefield. I feel like they've had so many attempts since what I remember back as like, what, PS3 era of people talking about how good Battlefield was, maybe like early PS4 era. I remember the hype for Battlefield, what, 4, when that launched. I feel like that's so far gone now. I feel like now if you're going to take chances, like, you might want to rotate, right? Like, maybe, hey, instead of a Battlefield next, let's maybe revisit Titanfall. I don't, yeah, you probably hears that and they're like, fuck you. But like, you know, maybe consider revisiting Titanfall.
I'm sure they've never been recommended that as a concept.
Yeah, I'm like, they've never thought about that. Mm-hmm. But maybe try a new IP. Like, I feel like Battlefield is getting a lot of shots, which is cool if that's really what they want to do. But I think trying to filter in more games in there to try and see, hey, if this isn't hitting, maybe this thing over here might hit that we still have access to. I don't know. Just make another burnout, please.
Give him a burnout.
Please. Remember Battlefield Hardline?
No.
Where you played as cops?
Oh, yeah. That was the cops and robbers sort of like you infiltrate.
Yeah.
Reminded me a lot of like Rainbow Six.
I playtested that back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember me and Mike playtested, or not playtested, but me and Mike were there for the sort of beta thing, industry thing for Battlefield 2042. Mm-hmm. And like servers just weren't working. It was just a real bad time. It was like during the pandemic, and me and it was like one of those early sort of like, all right, be ready to game by like 8 a.m. And it was like, oh man. And like things weren't working. It was a time.
Battlefield 1 seemed pretty good too.
Remember Bad Company?
I mean, I never played Bad Company, but I saw the commercials, and the commercials made it seem real fun.
It was real fun. Those were the days, bless.
Bad Company seems like a good time. That's one of those games where if I could rewind time and put myself into a community, I'd be in the Battlefield Bad Company.
Wow.
Community.
Just that one.
Just that one.
Oh, dude, multiplayer for, I think, Bad Company 2 popped off, man. You would have had a fun time.
If I could go back, if I could, like, rewrite some of my gaming history, I probably wouldn't because I feel pretty good about the games I played, but I would maybe do two things. I would give myself a GameCube. Because I would have been such a GameCube boy. I would have loved that thing in this library. Also, I would have given myself a, like those PC games that, like, we think about when we think about, like, the mid-2000s. I'm talking about, like, Half-Life.
Counter-Strike.
And Counter-Strike. And, like, Deus Ex. Like, the early Deus Ex. I feel like I would have loved those. Mm. Like, I got more into those, like, during the PS3 era as they became a little bit more.
The more I think, the more I look at Blessing, I feel like you would fit perfectly in the cast of Earthbound.
I love Earthbound, yeah.
Like, I'm gonna draw you as an Earthbound character.
Oh, please do. I'd love that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'll make that my profile picture for a week. Story number 8. Evil Dead ends new content development. This is at Evil Dead the Game on Twitter. To the Evil Dead the Game community, today, we have made the decision not to pursue the development of new content for Evil Dead the Game. We also confirm that we will not be releasing a Nintendo Switch version of the game. We will keep the servers up for the foreseeable future and address any major issues that arise. On behalf of the entire team at Saber, thank you all for the groovy times and your continued support.
I thought they were going to say, and after seeing the screenshots of Mortal Kombat 1 on Switch, we will no longer releasing a Switch version.
Yeah, we saw what Molina looks like, and we don't want to repeat of that.
I mean,
this game just came out not that long ago, right?
It was about a year and a half ago, maybe.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, pandemic time. Certainly a much longer lifespan than I would have expected for one of these games that we always talk about. Every other week, there's a new game that comes out, and then 6 weeks later, 6 months later, is shut down because there's not enough support, and you need servers and stuff to kind of run these games, right? And you need players there to make these games worthwhile. It was fun, though. I had a good time with Evil Dead for the time that we played. As Mike knows, I was ranked 5th in the world.
Whoa, crazy.
The top 5 NA. It was a good time, top 5. Yeah, he's holding his 5. I had a great time with Evil Dead, but it's just kind of really predictable nowadays to have any game that isn't Dead by Daylight to succeed.
Yeah, like for an asymmetrical multiplayer game.
If there's any game that's ever a non-Dead by Daylight asymmetrical game that has a lifespan of years and years, like, that is pretty surprising and shocking to me.
Yeah, I feel that. A final news story. Story number 9. Netflix's Onimusha anime just got its first trailer. I do not know where I pulled this from, but I'm pretty sure it was IGN. I can check as I read. Netflix has released its first trailer for its animated adaptation of Capcom's Onimusha video game franchise, which is due to premiere on November 2nd later this year. The action-packed 3-minute trailer shows protagonist Miyamoto Musashi don the series' iconic Oni Gauntlet and go toe-to-toe with a varied cast of foes, both demonic and human alike. As the series theme song, The Loneliest by artist Mainskin, plays on in the background. As the trailer unfolds, Musashi is handed down a 33-day deadline in which to complete a covert mission while a seemingly human antagonist drinking a suspiciously blood-like liquid lays out his wish to exterminate all remaining samurai in Japan. What a random, like, I know this was, I believe this was announced already, right? Like, I remember talking about it on a Musha Netflix thing. What a wild game to, like, get a full-on adaptation and for it to look really good.
It's like, it's kind of like Twisted Metal getting a series. Tim Geddes.
We got Twisted Metal, baby. We're getting Onimusha, baby. Tim Geddes is living out here. Real talk, though, this looks dope as shit. This looks really cool.
Great.
I'm usually not a fan of the like 3D anime style stuff, but like this looks super cool.
Cool art style.
Seeing the gauntlet, they kept teasing it. We never actually see him suck the souls into it. I'm like, that's going to be hype as fuck in this show, but can't believe that it's happening so soon.
They're sucking souls in this?
They're sucking souls, baby.
Oh, that's crazy.
We're double penetrating discs.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
We're sucking souls in a wild episode.
I agree. I think this art style looks really awesome.
Yeah, does anybody know in the chat what studio is working on this? I might have missed it in the trailer because it looks familiar.
I feel very similarly about the sort of 2D, 3D thing. Rarely feeling like it works in these shows, and you would always just kind of prefer a 2D animation show anyway, but this looks really damn good. I enjoy this sort of art style.
This new story is from Anthony Wood, by the way, at IGN. So shout out to Anthony Wood. Sorry for forgetting to write your name down. But yeah, this is cool. I'm excited for more stuff like this. I hope this points to a new Onimusha at some point, you know?
Sure.
Same as Twisted
Conjures up enough interest, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, what a random IP to bring back, but like, I think there's enough people out there that have the nostalgia for it and would like another one. And Capcom seems like they're in a place where they are down to like experiment with new things, right? I don't know Onimusha is new, but the fact that we're getting that game that I can never remember the title of, it's the fucking action game that like has kind of like a strategy thing going on. That was at Xbox. Can never remember the name of it. But like, I think having projects like that make me think that an Onimusha isn't out of the question. Because like, I feel like, you know, when we look at, I guess, Capcom and the kind of action games they make, that still fits the identity of what Capcom is, right? I feel like Onimusha still fits in there. And so, yeah, I think, somebody in chat says Capcom is in their experimental college phase. That's the thing. They also put out Exoprimal also.
That's true. That did
experiment
come out.
With some Onimusha.
This is Sublimation Studio, who also worked on Dragon's Dogma, the show or cartoon or movie or whatever it is, as well as a bunch of other shows I've never heard of.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this.
Walking Meat.
Walking
Cedar,
Meat?
Cedar, No You, Ni, Kotobo, Gawa. The title keeps on going. I don't know.
Yeah, the animation style reminded me a lot of one of the Star Wars vision sorts. Andy, if you remember, there was like the samurai one.
Did Blessing ever watch those?
Oh, Star Wars Visions? I started it. I really liked it, and I just
I never watched season two. I need to get back to it, so I can't even.
I hear it's great.
I'm just not like Star Wars. Just doesn't engage me. Mm. Like that's the tough thing is even when I'm watching something that's like pretty decent for Star Wars, there's something about the world that just like doesn't hit with me. Even though I do really want to watch Ahsoka. Andor. Well, I need to finish the last episode of Andor. I've been leaving it hanging for like half a year.
Come on, bless.
Once they got out of the prison, I was like, all right.
There's three more episodes.
This is where my story ends.
Yeah. Like, the prison was my favorite part. So, like, if you're not in the prison, then I don't care.
That was
anymore.
The end of your character arc.
Get back in the prison, goddammit. So that good
you haven't
stuff
even
again.
Gotten to the collective action uprising part, bless. That's the best part.
You just said a
part.
Bunch of words.
Yeah.
A collective active uprising?
Collective action and uprising.
I got one up. You're saying they're doing all of that in just the final episode?
Well, your last episode was when they broke away from the prison, right? Or they did the prison break? Because there's three more episodes after spoiler, that.
I think I watched spoiler. The two episodes after that.
Okay.
I just haven't watched the finale. I think I just got bored because I was like, I liked you better when you're in jail.
The official list of upcoming software has this about the kind of funny games that he shows each and every
week. Get back in prison. But I want to watch Ahsoka because Barrett and Roger keep going crazy about Ahsoka every like week when I get into work. And I'm like, fuck, that sounds like such a good time. But anyway, if I want those come out to Mom and Grab Shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is about the kind of games that he shows each and every weekday.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd get much out of it without watching Rebels.
I'm just saying, lock them back up. Like that was the best part of that show. Oh my! When my guy was giving monologues for no reason whatsoever.
You just want Prison Break? Oh, put him back in jail,
dude. I love Prison Break so much. Like Prison Break, and Prison Break was great because every season they found a way to get back into prison, so they had to break out again.
Yeah, it's
and
crazy.
I'm like, why are you in Panama? Like, what the fuck are you in a prison in Panama? God, good for Prison Break. Out today, we got Party Animals for Xbox Series X and Xbox One and PC. Witchfire Early Access for PC. And Men of War 2 for PC. Back in the day, men used to go to war. You know what I mean? Now they're just on Twitch streaming.
Now we're talking about video games.
Now we're talking about video games. Men used to build houses.
We used to be a country.
New dates for you. Signy, All Guns Blazing, got delayed to 2024. And then Forgive Me, Father, is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch on September 28th. Now it's time to squat up real quick. Of course, you can write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your squat ups read on the show, just like New AJ did. Nawaj. I've been mispronouncing your name the whole time. Nawaj's Eyes did. Nawaj's Eyes writes in and says, DC heroes and villains have just introduced guilds, and I'm looking for some KFBFs to take down Lisa Dark. My guild is Kind of Funny, all one word. Can't wait to see you guys there. If you want to play some DC heroes and villains with Nawaj's Eyes, you can join the guild, Kind of Funny, all one word.
I could see why you'd think it was New AJ's Eyes.
Yeah, when you look at it all lowercase in one word, then you, yeah, New
AJ.
Get
some intercap in there. Let's get some intercap.
Yeah, get some intercap. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Rewrite in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here.
When I click on the link, it says, do you want to download Google Sheets? So you'll have to just read what's wrong.
Falcon S says, the Series X / S mix is not lifetime sales. It's a specific time period. That's not a year wrong. We knew that. We weren't talking about them as lifetime. We're talking about from when that email was posted. Games and such says Forza Horizon 5 was a cross-gen release on both Xbox One and Series X, while Starfield was only Xbox Series X. So your comparison of players isn't accurate. I wouldn't say it's not accurate. It just, there's context that is worth reading into.
Tell them, boss. Tell them.
I'm tired of these gamers. You know what I mean? Just go back and play your fucking video games.
I'm sick of them. God. But if you got them Prime Gaming, get
to listen to a video game podcast to hear people talk about video games. You don't like hearing them talk about video games. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You signed up for this.
You signed up.
You're doing it wrong.
God. Get on here and talk about your numbers, all right? How much video games have you sold?
How many, yeah.
Both of us sold zero video games, all right? None of us are qualified for this.
Both tied.
Lock him up. You know what I mean?
Send him back to jail.
Lock him up.
Send him back to jail.
Somebody says, Blessing, you were wrong, though. Was I fat? Did I say that? I didn't say Forza Horizon 5 didn't come out on series or on Xbox One.
Somebody give back OJ.
That's
his
not a year wrong.
Give it back to him.
Lock him up and put a camera in front of him and make him break out. God damn it. And give him a lifesaver.
Give him back his stuff.
Main skin is pronounced monoskin. Why would they spell it that way? Okay, yeah, multiple people are talking about monoskin. Cool. Oh, and also the thumbnail is misspelled. Appreciate it.
Wait, it is?
I think it was like Phil Spector or something.
we'll make sure that's corrected. Thanks.
I'm sure he already knows.
That's amazing. All right, that's it for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tomorrow's host for KFGD are going to be me and Tim. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Till next time, Game Daily. Phil Spector. I think that's the name of, like, the murderer on The Fall on Netflix and BBC.
The Fall? What the hell is The Fall?
It stars, what's her name? I love her. She's from X-Files. She's also in Sex Education. Jillian
Anderson.
Yes. Right?
I believe so.
Jillian Anderson, yeah. Basically, she's a detective, and she's playing opposite a serial killer who's played by, I'm pretty sure, the guy from 50 Shades of Grey. And, like, the show takes place from both perspectives, where you're seeing him, like, kill people and do all this shit, right? Like, be this psychopath. But you're also following her as Jamie Dornan, thank you. You're following her as she's, like, trying to find this guy and figure out, like, who did it. It's really cool. It's really good.
Hey, Mike.
Good to see you, too.
I'll tell you what, you know, we have a new plan where maybe I don't come on the camera, right? But I saw you two. You guys were cooking up, and I was like, I just want to hang out with these.
Just want to hang out.
I had to come to the table.
Because we're not golfing today.
We got some smoke here in the penny.
Phil Spector's a real life murderer.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure Phil Spector
wasn't he a music
producer who killed people?
Phil Spector was a music producer that, like, yeah,
wasn't he the Wall of Sound?
I wasn't far off though. Paul Spector is the killer in The Fall. Now, is there correlation? Did they? I don't know.
Everybody, it's Super Chat Prime
Time. Yeah, welcome.
Super Chat, baby.
The Super Chat Prime Time with your host, Snowbike Mike, where I join your two incredible Kind of Funny Games daily show host after KFGD, where we get involved with you over in the chat. Of course, if you're watching live over on Twitch and on YouTube, now is your time to get involved in the show. If you want to go a little bit deeper into today's one of news stories, or if you just want to ask Andy, man, Andy, how tough was that boss last night in Liza P? You can do that right now with, of course, your tier 1-3 subs or your free game Prime Gaming subs with Amazon Prime. You can resubscribe anytime. We'll read those comments. And of course, you can super chat over on YouTube right now for us to be able to chat it up with all of you. And let's give a big shout out to the Twitch side of things right now, Andy Cortez, because what Somewhat Dark Knight has resubscribed with Prime Gaming for 22 months. Shout out Jim Tasty, resubscribed for the tier one level for 32 months. Thank you for that one. And Blue Bomber with the resub of Prime Gaming for 60 months. Thank you all.
But more importantly, the world's okayest gamer resubscribe using Prime. Which
shout
is
out.
Free.
Shout out. Which
for
is
19
free.
Months and says, how about them Cowboys, Annie? How about
How about them Cowboys?
2-0.
Let's talk about it. Arturo writes in.
Artudotron Robo Bartender.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ramen or pho?
Depends Follow-up on the
question.
Mood.
Grilled cheese or hot ham and cheese?
Hot ham and cheese sounds weird.
I've never had a hot ham and cheese.
I'll go with the grilled cheese.
Well, you know,
and I would go with ramen over
You've
pho.
Had a hot ham and cheese Hot Pocket before, right?
Have I?
Have you ever had a ham and cheese Hot Pocket?
I don't believe so.
Really?
I've only had a pizza Hot Pocket.
Really? Have you ever had a ham and cheese Hot Pocket?
No, I've not.
That's like one of their most popular flavors.
Is it really?
Maybe I've had one. I just don't.
It would go that and the pizza one. Those got to be top two Hot Pockets of all time.
I'm not a Hot Pocket guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Blessing. Like, I would never voluntarily go to a grocery store and say, Hot Pockets, yeah.
Wow.
Like, I feel like I would only have Hot Pockets if, like, I slept over at a friend's house.
Yeah.
Or, like, maybe I'm at, I don't know, like a camp or something.
Hot Pockets were my ramen. Like, when kids were eating ramen, we talk about this all the time, I was eating Hot Pockets. I've never been a ramen guy. Mm. So, for me, it was Hot Pockets and bagel bites.
Oh,
I like that. I've never been a ramen guy, so it was Hot Pockets. Like, those are in the same family.
Yeah,
those are cheap college eats.
You have a microwave or like a toaster oven in a college dorm. Boom, Hot Pockets.
I'll tell you what, when you and
about,
I
like,
went golfing.
Little microwavable, like,
yeah.
When you and I went golfing and we were talking about, I was talking to that older gentleman about,
wow,
you know, being poor in college and. Yeah. When I started golfing, it's because that golf course was like $8 a round because of the student discount.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, we would all pitch in and go play golf. And then we'd buy a Little Caesars Hot and Ready. That shit would last us all week. Little Caesars Hot and Ready is very, very important to my early college years.
Okay.
And instead of Hot Pockets or, you know, I'd get ramen every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
The little easy ramen or whatever. But I would also do a big fan of Chef Boyardee ravioli.
Oh.
Dinty Moore beef stew, Progresso chicken noodle soup. I was a big canned food guy.
I've never made a Chef Boyardee before in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Bless, what are some of your favorite college foods?
College
foods. I love ravioli, but I've never had Chef Boyardee.
Hmm. Yeah, I was big into ramen. Like, okay. Yeah, ramen was my thing. I evolved how I made it over the years. I wouldn't make my ramen for other people. Like, I've never hit that point of like, oh man, my ramen is the shit or anything, but I know how to make it for myself.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
I like that. I like that.
I also like the Red Baron, like the mini pizzas.
I love that. Oh, you're the French bread pizzas.
Oh.
I like the French bread.
That was a good one.
Oh, you get that single French bread on there? Ooh, you'd be eating well right there. Roll Tie writes in and wants to know about the new t-shirts. Andy, this is from yesterday. Do the new shirts fit small or large? About the snag, two of them. A lot of people were asking, hey, I'm similar to a build of Andy Cortez, 6'5", handsome, just built like an ox.
Muscular.
A lot of people wanted to know, like, what were you wearing? Because I have a similar build to that.
I was wearing a medium in my shots.
Yeah, and you looked good in that medium. Did you feel good, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I mean,
did the t-shirt feel good?
I believe these are Canvas brand shirts. So, like, the blank that we're printing on is by Canvas, and they're great. They feel soft, and they're awesome.
I like that.
What were you wearing?
I was wearing an extra large. I'm in a weird phase of my life because I am overweight and dying inside, where I want to be a large, but I'm not a large anymore, but I'm not quite an XL yet. You know what I mean? Like, I need a little bit more to be an XL, but I still hold tight to that large feeling.
I feel that.
You know, to help not feeling like you're dying inside is stop eating Hot Pockets.
Yeah, but they're so good. They got barbecue Hot Pockets. They got ham and cheese Hot Pockets.
I had like a whole bag of ghost pepper hot Cheetos.
You did. I saw you. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now. I'm feeling it right now.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Moment.
We all learned.
I saw you attacking that bag like the last 2 days.
Good. Yeah. Attacking that.
Who brought those in?
Gary, I believe.
Yeah, Gary brought three appetizers of spicy stuff. Spicy Takis, very good.
Takis are good, but I would say go for Dinamita instead. Dinamita is the Frito-Lay version. Because Takis came on the scene, took the universe by storm, right? But when you have the Dinamita, which is like basically just the Frito-Lay copied version of it,
yeah,
less salty, less like. Sometimes with Takis, it's like you're only getting the hot salt.
Yeah,
it's like I want to taste that lemon. My mouth's got watering just thinking about it right now. I want that lemon in there, Dinamita.
Love that. Sky writes in. Free Derrick Henry from the Tennessee Titans.
Oh.
They're wasting one of the best to ever do it. Anyways, what's your go-to stadium food/drink purchase?
I was gonna stop you because all I heard was free Derrick Henry. I did not knowing who that was.
Oh, you didn't know who Derrick Henry was.
I thought you were gonna be like, oh yeah, free my homie Derrick Henry.
Free my homie Earl the Squirrel.
Mike, don't say it because whatever Derrick Henry did, probably not.
We don't know what Derrick Henry
did.
He didn't kill those people, man.
Like, we can't co-sign unless we know Derrick Henry personally.
Derrick Henry has trucks some people very violently. So yeah.
Let me tell you, Bless, that like Derrick Henry is one of these running backs that. Has lasted a lot longer than most running backs. Usually, by the age of 29 to 30, running backs are like spent because their bodies are just destroyed after 7-8 years of running. Derrick Henry is one of those guys that it seems to be like lasting longer than normal, like Adrian Peterson, Mike, back in the day.
Yeah.
But Derrick Henry's like 6'3", 270 pounds. Like, this man is a monster of muscle and strength. And you hand off the ball to him and you see him run it, like, there's nothing I fear more than like being transported into the body of a cornerback, of a defensive back that's watching Derrick Henry run at you. You're like, what do I do right now? Do I try to tackle you and just get embarrassed? You know, so he's one of those running backs. I'd say, yeah, ship him off. Get him off the Titans. Go to stadium food, Mike.
They need him.
Oh, they do? Are they doing
well? What else are they going to do without Derrick Henry? Tell me your go-to stadium food.
I like nachos.
Really?
Yeah.
Nachos. Do you like nachos at the stadium?
Sure, why not? Yeah, I don't mind nachos.
I never order nachos. It's always hot dogs. Easier.
Nachos are like my theater food kind of thing.
Yeah, anytime I see Barrett with nachos at the theater, I regret not getting the nachos at the theater.
Like a movie theater?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I feel
like because popcorn, typically, if I have too much, will make my stomach upset.
Well, I get both.
Yeah. So I want to get something snacky and salty, so I feel like nachos are the next best thing there. When it comes to stadium, of course, I'm going to think about Oracle Park, AT&T Park, whatever the fuck you want to call it, where the Giants play. Garlic fries, obviously. Tony's Pizza, Mike, you're familiar with.
Tony's at the ballpark.
They've got it at the ballpark, which is great. And Alyssa's go-to is the crab sandwich there, which she really loves.
They can't go wrong at the ballpark.
Yeah, somebody said like an Italian sausage. That sounds really good.
A little brat.
Yeah, brat. Oh, my God, I love like a bratwurst.
Oh, I love a brat. Bless. Yeah. That's right.
Jim, I remember back in the day, I think one of these stadiums, maybe it's where the Astros play at Minute Maid Park. I think they have a Whataburger there. And that was always cool to see. Like, I'm going to get a Whataburger. Yeah,
that's cool. That's wicked. Yeah, they got Ghirardelli there for ice cream and sundaes. That's pretty good. I like that. CJ writes in with a gaming question. Says, is there a universe where Nintendo being owned by Microsoft sounds appealing? Close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Clear the mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a universe?
No.
In the multiverse across the landscape, where Nintendo being owned by Microsoft ever sounds appealing?
I think it's a canon event that no. Okay. I think across every universe, all the universes where Microsoft owns Nintendo, it's not a good universe.
Never good.
I think I'm gonna play devil's advocate.
Play devil's advocate for me.
In a universe where Phil Spencer just lets Nintendo cook and do their thing and is completely 100% hands off and says, I don't give a damn. You want to make more of them Labo pieces of shit? Sure. As long as you can pump out, you know, your Odysseys and your Zeldas and your Tears and all that stuff. Because I would like to imagine a universe where the hardware is a bit more up to snuff.
Oh, hardware.
And seven years doesn't go by where you release a piece of hardware that's already severely underpowered, and then 7 years goes by and that's still the hardware that you're using. I would love to see maybe a refresh 4 or 5 years in, especially when you're that behind the eight ball already.
Look at that. He brings up hardware. Here's another one for you. Games actually go on sale and aren't $60 for the entire lifespan of the console.
Look, Mike, don't say that, bro. You'll be able to buy Tears of the Kingdom during a Black Friday sale for fucking $67.99.
Hey, first of all, Xbox games are on sale because they're putting out Redfall. Right?
What if they allow
quality
us to
games or not?
Put these games on sale, you know what I mean?
Because the games are good.
Mike, you'll be able to buy fucking Luigi's Mansion 3 in 4 years from now for $3 off.
$62.95.
Okay?
I just want just put some of these games on sale. What are we doing?
Andy, to push back a little bit, wouldn't that universe that you're dreaming of where, you know, Phil, Microsoft, and the team are very hands-off, wouldn't that just be our universe? Because that's what they do with all these other studios that they buy, you know? They're so hands-fucking-off. I don't know.
See, I don't think so. I'm just saying, like, all I would want Microsoft to be involved with is saying, like, hey, let's up the hardware game a little bit. That's really all I'm asking for right now. Like, keep doing your thing. Keep making all the games. We're supporting you 1,000,000%. We're not going to get involved. But let's see if we can update this piece of hardware a bit more frequently.
See, I think the future I would prefer would be a partnership between Microsoft and Nintendo. Like, if it was, hey, like,
a Game Pass partnership.
Yeah, maybe a Game Pass partnership. Yeah. Like, hey, we want to be able to put your games on our platform if you're able to, like, you know, get them upscale or, like, maybe through super sampling or whatever, like, get these things up to snuff. My fear with Microsoft owning Nintendo just goes with, like, the industry consolidation thing of, like,
sure,
all right, now we're thinking about, we're thinking about the now, right? But 15 years from now, and Microsoft is behaving like a different company, right? Like, if Microsoft has a bad turn, guess what? That affects everybody. If Microsoft has layoffs, guess what? Nintendo's going to have layoffs.
Here's what I want Xbox to step in on. Hey, Mario fucking Super Strikers. Let's get that online working a little bit
better.
Let's
get that online working.
Oh, wait, you can't
play. Let's make it 4v4. Why wouldn't we do that?
Like, that's the stuff that I want them involved in, where they're like, hey, it's 2023 now. You're still making multiplayer decisions as if it's the year 2010. Yeah.
Remember when they wanted us to do voice chat through our phones?
Yeah, like the stupid-ass weird
like that. Are y'all good? Are we good right now?
That's the dumb shit I'm talking about, yeah.
I think there's some things to be found in there, that's right. Austin writes in and says, Hot Pockets always are molten lava on the edges and iceberg in the middle. Yep, they're always ice cold in the middle. It's true, it's true.
That's a great bit by Jim Gaffigan. It's a great one.
Sky writes in again and says Xbox would actually be relevant in Japan for once. Another alternate universe situation.
Wait, what would be relevant?
Xbox would be relevant in Japan if the Nintendo.
Like, imagine if they were Nintendo games that didn't require motion controls.
Oh.
And you could be like, hey, Tears of the Kingdom coming to Series X, Series S.
Damn.
How fucking awesome would that be?
I mean, play it on PC right now, you know what I mean?
I mean, you can, sure.
Allegedly.
Yeah. I'm not saying shit.
Allegedly.
Rudio has become a member on the Kinda Funny Games YouTube channel for 11 months. Says, loving the new merch, boys. How are the pregame vibes for the kickoff to the football season?
Football
season. Hashtag dialed in. Are you feeling good? Will you go to Ultimate Team this year? You know, you and I talk about your FIFA, a.k.a. EA Sports FC.
I think they're talking about your soccer team.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that in a second. I want to know about Blessing. Will he move from just Play Now seasons to Ultimate Team?
Oh, absolutely not. No, I've tried Ultimate Team. It just isn't for me. I think it's a deeper level of investment and like a deep level of thinking and upgrading over time, where the scary thing with that for me is the idea of, oh, like 100 hours down the line, I'm going to finally get to where I want with my team, right? As opposed to seasons, I just hop in. I just play games. I can stop whenever I want. I sound like I'm an addict there, which I am, but like I can stop whenever I want and it's fine, right? Like I'm not necessarily building towards something. I'm just trying to level up my ranking to get to Division One or whatever. So yeah, I think I'm just gonna stick to seasons. Maybe like, I don't know, it could be cool to do a co-op seasons. I forget what they actually call it, but like there's a mode where you can play with all your friends and like have a full team and then go online and play, try to level up. I think that sounds fun.
That would be wicked.
I would have to make enough.
If you had a team for that, yeah, I like that. Yeah, for me, I'm ultimate team baddie. I'm looking forward to dropping 100 on that one and just getting some cards that don't mean anything. You know what I mean? Already did it with NBA 2K. Got a lot of bad cards.
What are we talking about? You got a JaVale McGee or what'd you get?
Some bad cards, Andy. And then I got, you know, I think they gave it to you if you got the Ultimate Edition. They give you the special Kobe edition, but it's only 88 overall Kobe. And it's like, okay, that's good enough. You know what I mean? But man, they get me every time with these dumb Ultimate teams.
Yeah.
The dream would be like, let me carry my collection on for years to come, but it's clearly, you start anew at the beginning of every year.
Yeah, because that's how they get you, Mike, every year.
I mean, hey.
You think you would learn.
When are we stopping this? No one's ever going to stop
this. We're never going to stop
this. I don't think there will ever be a time when we stop this.
It will never stop.
When are we stopping this?
Mike, let me tell you about this thing called Honkai Star Rail.
Okay, yeah, yeah,
you want to start dropping hundreds.
Yeah.
Drop some hundreds on me as I jump into Honkai.
Yeah. Blessing, I told you again, I will tell you again, just like we did for the last one, we will go into the lab, you will boot up Honkai Star
Rail. I mean, we did do this for the last
one. I will give you $100, and you can open up packs of those characters.
I don't even know how to spend money in Honkai, but yes, I'll...
Well, figure it out, we'll make it happen.
I'm sure it's the same as Genshin.
Blessing, let me tell you that when we went golfing the other day, they said, hey, no golf carts after 3 p.m., you're going to have to walk the course. And Mike was like, I'll give you $100 if you take a golf cart. Not a lie.
Give us the golf cart, man. What, do you want me and Andy to walk this course?
Crazy.
Bro, we wanted to play 18. Like, hook me up.
Where'd y'all play golf at?
We went down to Pacifica this time.
Okay. I was going to say, because I did Golden Gate Park, and I did like a, 9-hole?
Yeah.
Maybe 18, I forget which, but.
You play golf?
Yeah.
That's sick.
Well, I did, Blessings like our a year
fourth
now.
When is he going to join? He's our fourth.
Yeah, Blessings our fourth.
I want to read
some Twitch subs for me.
I want to thank Philip J. Fry for 36 months using Prime on us. Appreciate you using your Prime, Philip J. Fry. We got French Dip Design, the designer of the Jabroni Boy line, with gifting 5 subs over on Twitch. If you got a gifted sub on Twitch, say thank you. You don't have to watch ads for 30 days. Appreciate you very, very much. And Pixelated Soul, 34 months of tier 1 subscription over on Twitch, says, Andy, you took the adoring fan perk and you got Mike.
Yeah, you got me for life. Like, no matter where I go, Andy, right? Like, I could be out of here in a month, could be out of here in 6 months, right? But you'll always have me. I'll be in your TikToks. I'll be on your Twitch channel. I'll be commenting. I'll be liking and subscribing.
Amen.
And I'll be calling just seeing if you want to hang out, you know? I could be 500 miles away. I'd still travel to see you and go to Spices.
You could be in the middle of a softball match.
Yeah, yeah. Think about you. Think about it. I have my first soccer game on Thursday. I'd love for you to attend and support.
I'm sure you would.
Maybe you can come with a sign. Maybe you could film me a little bit so you can show my friends and family how good I am.
King of Candids.
You could talk about me.
I know viewers and listeners think this is a bit. This is not a bit. He's dead ass serious.
Tonight we're gonna play video games. Be ready.
He's being
Tonight we're gonna play video games. Say Chalet writes in, says Microsoft puts all Nintendo games on Game Pass and same price. Alternate universe, something to think about.
Again, in a partnership context, I think that'd be dope as hell.
Colton writes in and says, is Unity bouncing back after this screw up, or are they always gonna be behind Unreal for the future now? They bouncing back after this?
I don't think they're going to bounce back all the way, right? Okay. I think this is a stain that stays. I think people are always going to have this idea about Unity of like, ooh, can't trust these guys. Like, oh, they don't know what they're doing, right? I think like if they end up bouncing back, it's going to take a long time for them to build that trust up with developers, and they're going to need to make developer first decisions, right? They're going to have to like, you know, do the things that you see Unreal doing in terms of, hey, if you use Unreal, you can launch your game for free, basically, for the first six months on Epic Game Store, right? Obviously, Epic is able to do that because Epic has all the money and Epic has this prolific engine. Mm-hmm. Unity doesn't really have that same ecosystem. But they're going to have to do something. Like, they can't just reverse this and expect everything to go back to normal, right? It's like if Andy walked over, punched me in the face, and, like, sat back down and was like, my bad, bro. It's like, our relationship is different now.
Yeah.
You know, we don't...
Jordan pulled him.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'd have to trade one of you at the end of the year. Jordan, we'd go through a year of being very awkward, and then at the end of the year, be like, everybody has to pick a side because one of them's leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like when I slapped Andy that one time.
He slapped me in the face.
Yeah. It's like, wow. This relationship is different now. Like, Andy has to buy me a cake.
Yeah.
Like a cheesecake in particular.
And it'll
really
never
like
be good enough. It'll never be good
exactly.
enough. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't think that there's ever a massive bounce back. They're going to try their hardest and their damnedest to show that they care about the developers, but will it ever? What are all those words going to fall upon deaf ears? Are we going to see these statements come out and everybody go, ah, go fucking shove it inside you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the reality is that so many developers are going to continue to use Unity because they're probably already midway through their projects. You know, like it's hard to just shift over engines. That's not an easy thing to do. But I think as we get further, I think you see less developers choose Unity over other engines at the start of their projects, right? I think you see people start to invest in, I know Godot is now one that's becoming a bit more prolific as this Unity debacle has been going on. I think you see people start to search into other options.
I saw a comment go by earlier that said, I can't wait to watch Mike raid Andy after he's live for 23 minutes.
We're here to support you.
What's happening?
I have to support
you.
Why do you
do this?
I had to support you.
Bless the amount of time.
I just want you to know that if I see Andy streaming, I'm going to go support him because he's on the drive to be the number one Twitch streamer, and I'm going to do everything in my power to help him.
Bless, I'll be streaming, and somebody pops in and goes, man, Mike just went live too. Who should I watch? And I was like, you watch both of us. That's what you do. That's the rules. You got to find two devices.
Oh, like, you're too good to me. Then, you say that?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell him you go watch Andy.
And then, Bless, check it out. So I get that comment. Who should I watch? No less than 5 minutes later, I get a raid from Mike. I'm like, what the? And everybody's like, he was live for 8 minutes and decided he wanted to watch One Piece.
Wanted to support my best friend, everybody.
For the past 2 months, Mike has averaged about a 12-minute stream.
Watch my Twitch streams, though. They're pretty good.
He doesn't want to compete.
They're pretty good.
Why divide the masses? Right? Push them all over.
We got to support you. We got to support.
Listen, I feel it, dude.
Z writes in and says, Mike, how many Nintendo games could you buy with the amount of money you spend on microtransactions? Nintendo games are what, 60 or 70?
A good question.
60 except for Zelda, which is 70.
About
which
five.
Is a, such
about
a baller move,
about
by
five,
the way.
About five.
These motherfuckers were like, this is a really good game. We're going to make you guys pay $10 more. No explanation.
We got a Prime from DJ Shot for 10 months of support. Thank you, DJ Shot. 49 months from Kerps89 using Prime Kerps. On us. You again, tying that Amazon Prime to that Prime gaming and then giving us the free subscription. Remember, set a calendar event. A lot of people go, Andy, do Prime Gaming subscriptions ever renew? No, they don't want you to remember that you have free money to give away to creators, the people that you love and watch every day and put a lot of your time in and invest your love and interest in. Amazon doesn't want you to give us $5 from their pockets. We want you to do that. Remember to do it.
Mike, are you claiming that you've only ever spent $300 in total on microtransactions? Because I don't believe that.
A year? I would say it's pretty close.
Oh, man. My Valorant numbers were real embarrassing. I'll never release those unless, like, if it's like a Trump situation where, like, release your taxes, like, that's what, you know, if there's a big controversy.
Like, you owe it to
me,
the people, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, and then I'm running for office, and they're like, how much did you spend on Valorant in the year 2020? And I'd be like, you know, those I have to release the news, and everybody wants to hear it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a perfect man, Blessing.
He's not a perfect man. He's not a perfect man.
But when I say that, I got close to four figures.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a perfect man.
I respect that. I want you to know that. I respect it.
That's, I don't want your respect.
I respect it. Kind of funny, best friend.
$300 a year is what you're spending on microtransactions.
I'd say that. Maybe a little more. I'd say about.
I'm gonna need a compilation. I need somebody to go back through Mike's streams and all the KF streams. I need a compilation every time this man's swipe
20, 40 piece every now and then. Never hurt nobody.
I don't
believe
it. Jake
Stepp says Andy will release the Valorant numbers in 2 weeks when they're ready. That's the joke.
We're gonna release the Valorant numbers very, very soon. Not anytime soon, though. Kind of funny, best friends. Thank you all so much for hanging out with us with our what, Andy?
The Super Chat Prime Time.
Love that. Prime Time with us. We will see you over in the lab for more Lies of P with Andy and I as we continue to game on with a hot game. Of course, thank you for watching Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you're watching on Twitch, you don't got to go anywhere. If you're on YouTube, there will be a new link up in just a moment. We'll see you then, gamers. Goodbye.